I think really good leaders and certainly authentically vulnerable leaders are also really good followers.
Yeah, amen.
You're listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the discussion of strategic best practices related to associational missions. Here's your host, Rick Curtis.
Hey, gentlemen. Today we have a special guest on the podcast, Todd Robertson. Todd is the Associational Mission Strategist of Louisville Regional Baptist Association, and he's here today to talk to me about being authentically vulnerable. Hey, Todd, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. I appreciate it.
Hey, Todd, before we jump into any questions today, why don't you tell us about your ministry? Tell us about your family. What's brought you to the point that you are today?
Yeah, so I have been in this role as an AMS at the association. This past December was 3 years, so started in December of 2016, but have been in Louisville for almost 23 years, have been connected with the association most of those years.
Wonderful.
Either in a volunteer role, actually spent about 4 years as the mission strategist for the association back in the early to mid 2000s. But most of my ministry over the close to 35 years now has been a lot tied to church planting, especially sending missions. Those kinds of things have been key themes wherever I've been. So the association and this opportunity really just kind of seemed like the perfect fit. We had planted a church in the south end of Louisville, had been there for almost 8 years, thought that was going to be my drop dead spot, and really had no intentions to leave, but God just spoke pretty clearly to us and some others that this was the right move to make. So I'm glad that I did. Glad that God brought us to Louisville. Glad that He's given us continuing opportunity. So I do have a wife. We've been married 31 years this past January.
Great.
We have three sons. Alec is 25, and he's a web guy. He builds web pages for a digital marketing firm. And then Nathan is one of our twins. They actually turned 23 2 days from now.
Oh, wow. And you're here with us.
And I'm here. I'll be here in Jacksonville instead of with my twins on their birthday, but I'm hoping they'll forgive me.
The sacrifices.
That's right. Nathan is... He works for Crossings Ministries in Louisville. He has a degree in broadcasting digital media, and so he is the corporate videographer and then also associate production guy for those camps and summer mission programs. And then Nicholas, our other twin, Nicholas is our kind of special kid. He's got a rare genetic disorder called Angelman syndrome. So he has global developmental delays, seizure disorder, severe intellectual disabilities, hasn't ever spoken, doesn't walk independently. So he's pretty much total care for Kim and I, but is an incredible kid, incredible joy, always laughing, loves people, always lights up a room when he comes in. So he's been a real special part of our life and our family.
That's good. It's transformational. I have several friends that have special needs children, and it's amazing to see how God's hand is always on that in amazing ways. Well, as you know, the reason I asked you to come in is that you wrote the piece on authentic vulnerability as an AMS for the upcoming book that's coming out and for SBCAL's 17 proficiencies. So let me ask you about authentic vulnerability. Were you surprised that that made the book, that made it as one of the proficiencies?
Yeah, I got to be honest. I was both surprised that it made the list, and I was a little bit surprised that they asked me. You know, it's kind of like being asked to write a book on, humility or something. That's kind of the death nail of any humility in your life. But yeah, I mean, you know, when you think about the notion of, especially the vulnerability part of it, you don't necessarily think of that as a strong character quality or as something that you want to be proficient at.
Right.
That's considered more of a weak kind of term. And so when I saw it in the list, I was a little bit surprised that they had seen that as being kind of a key relational proficiency. It didn't take long to kind of think through it and realize, man, that's key.
That's
vital.
There's no certificate at the end of it that says, I graduated, I'm vulnerable.
Yeah, I'm super vulnerable.
Yeah.
And there's a tearful celebration at the end and all of that. Yeah. So I have a tear-stained certificate, actually, that says how vulnerable that I am.
Very good.
So I guess it was a little bit surprising in the scope of all of the 17. But the more that I kind of studied to kind of write this piece, man, it just became crystal clear how vital really this as a character quality is.
Well, you and I both know, though we make light of it here in this conversation, we kind of joke with some banter back and forth, it is so key to be an authentically vulnerable leader, because it shows something about our character, shows something about who we are to those that we're trying to lead. And while it may seem counterintuitive, it buys respect and it's healthy for the soul. What would be your biblical foundation for being authentically vulnerable?
Yeah, I think that we've got some character pictures when we look in Scripture that display this. Obviously, the most incredible picture that we have is of Jesus himself.
Yeah.
When we look at the life of Jesus, we see someone who was totally his true self all the time. You know, fully God and fully man. Mm-hmm. And we think about that as a theological term, but yet when we read the biographies of Jesus in Scripture, we see this picture of someone who was living that out at every moment. I mean, in a moment to be able to touch a leper and bring immediate healing, showing his power and divinity over all of creation, but yet in that moment showing his authenticity, his vulnerability, his willingness to touch one who everybody would say, you don't touch that kind of person.
Right. So
we just see Jesus embodying that. I think the other picture that I'm overwhelmed by when I think about it is Paul, and the way that we think of Paul and we sort of have raised Paul up on this incredible pedestal as, yeah, you know, the perfect missionary, the perfect theologian, all of these things. But yet Paul, in his own self-reflection, wasn't beating himself down, you know, he wasn't kicking himself, but yet Paul was fully aware of his own weaknesses.
Yeah.
You know, Paul talks about not coming in strength, but coming in a total dependence on the Holy Spirit, coming even with fear and trembling. You know, he writes that to the Corinthians, of all people, this train wreck of a church and yeah, mess of a people. And he's talking to them about coming with fear and trembling, I think because he recognizes the incredible mantle of responsibility that he had in coming. But I think Paul just pictures for us, he tells his young disciple that he's the greatest of all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's about as vulnerable as it gets, right?
So
to admit your own brokenness, to admit your own weakness and all of that. And so I think we've got some specific scriptural passages, but I think even more importantly, we've got those clear biblical pictures in the characters that we see, like Jesus, like Paul. So I think there's pretty clear biblical foundation for talking about this as a proficiency for leaders.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that being considered, I was going to ask you a question. I still will ask you the question, but you just threw Jesus out there. And so that's a kind of a hard example to live up to for any of us.
Absolutely.
But right. So, but as you look at the need that's on the field among our AMSs, and you look at the personality traits that most of them have, they're driven guys. They're guys that want to get things done. They're guys that are focused. So what does the leader look like who's living out this proficiency?
Yeah, I think that if we're going to think through what we are going to see when we look in the mirror, if we're sort of embodying this, I think maybe there'd be a few things. One of those things is that we are consistently pointing people to grace of the gospel. That we're driving people back to God's grace, to the power of Christ, to the work of the Holy Spirit, not to ourselves. I mean, that's the most dangerous thing a leader can do, and it is the least authentic and least vulnerable if we put on a facade and we try to make ourselves to be this perfect leader that, oh, just do everything that I do. I've got it all together. I'm perfect and all of that. As opposed to really driving our pastors and leaders that we're working with back to the truth of the gospel, back to the dependence on Christ, you know? And I think we see that in Paul, in the way that Paul talks about that. You know, we see him in one note saying that he's the least of these and mm-hmm. that he's the worst sinner, but yet he can say to the Philippians, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah.
So it's a balance of that, but I think that we're going to look in the mirror, we're going to see somebody who's pointing others consistently to the grace of the gospel. I think we're going to see somebody who's honest when they mess up, mm-hmm. honest when they don't know. I think a leader like this is going to be willing to say, you know, I have no clue. I don't know the answer to that, but we'll work together and we'll figure it out together, or I'll find an answer for you. So we're honest about what we know and what we don't know. We're honest about when we mess up.
I love that.
I think we're going to have a posture of humility.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be more like Jesus in not putting on airs. I mean, when I try to imagine what Jesus could have been like, as God in flesh. Mm-hmm. It could have looked really different, but yet Jesus chose to live out the human part of who he was just in utter humility and in willingness to sacrifice. And so I think it's going to look like that. I think one of the really practical things is that when we're living this out, we're going to listen a lot more than we talk. Mm-hmm. Which is weird because I'm talking on a podcast about listening more, but we're going to listen more than we talk. We're going to be the kind of leader that can sit down with that pastor that we're working with and really genuinely be present, fully present, and hear his story and not just be looking for him to take a breath so that we can give him the answer that the book says that we ought to give him or that we think is the best thing for him to do. You know, we're going to be really good listeners, and then that we're going to have the capacity to follow as much as lead. I think really good leaders and certainly authentically vulnerable leaders are also really good followers.
Yeah. Amen. So. Yeah, that's good. That's a good word. Hey, so let me unpack kind of a side note here. We talked about how that guy can admit his faults and he can stand in the spotlight of criticism and be true and honest and forthright in those moments. But you and I have been around a long time in ministry. We have seen so many guys tank their ministry because they attempted a cover-up or where they didn't feel they could be vulnerable. So they made an excuse or they colored the facts just a little bit. And their ministry otherwise could have survived whatever that criticism was, but we saw them tailspin out. And it's so unfortunate. That's why, for my perspective, as I'm listening to you talk, that's why being authentically vulnerable is so important. There's so much forgiveness out there in the church. And the forgiveness gets applied to the guy who says, you know what, I was wrong. Or I made a mistake here, and I need forgiveness.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of forgiveness for the guy who tries to cover it up and then gets caught anyway.
Right.
And so I think in our roles as leaders among leaders, because that's what we are, that's what an AMS is, it is so important to really grasp what you're saying here, because it could someday in the future just make the difference between a failed ministry and a successful one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, so why do you feel this proficiency is so important in today's culture? Because I was looking forward to asking this question because our culture's in a downslide.
Right.
It's crazy. So this is so countercultural, this idea that we're talking about. Why is that important?
Yeah. I think a couple of things. One is that it's interesting that I think your assessment is right, that culturally there's certainly sort of that tailspin in a lot of issues and a lot of moral issues that we're concerned about in the perception of what's right and what's wrong and all of that. But yet we've got an author and speaker like I think it's Brené Brown, who is speaking on vulnerability. She does a TED talk on vulnerability. It goes viral. She's now, you know, writing books and doing special courses and things like that all around the issue of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got other authors who have picked up on that and are talking about that from a cultural perspective, not from a gospel perspective or a Christian perspective, but just from a general cultural perspective. And so I think something's happening, right, culturally, in the sense that I think many people are getting really sick and tired of the false masks. People are getting really sick and tired of wearing them themselves. They're getting sick and tired of seeing leaders who are wearing them and, you know, having to wade through all of these facades to, well, what's really going on? Can you just tell me the truth? Can you just be honest with me? And so I think that it's important from that perspective because there is this move going on where even in the mainstream culture, it's getting talked about. I think in terms of the authentic part of this proficiency, that's something that generationally is a key issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these next generations coming up, everything that we're reading, everything that we're seeing in the research about them is that authenticity is key.
Yep.
They want to know, are you real?
Right.
And so I think that to make it specific to AMS and our role in associational work, I think as we're working, especially with younger pastors and things like that, you know, if we sort of put on the old man's suit and put on the I've got it all together and I've got all the answers face, and we roll in and tell them how it used to be is the best way because that's how it's always been, and, you know, well, we figured this out a long time ago, and well, that doesn't work, and we tried that, and we've answered those questions. Mm-hmm. If we play that game with these young leaders, we're going to lose them.
Yes.
And so I think that we have to come with a willingness to just be real. Again, admit what we don't know, recognize them as our teachers to help us to understand what they're learning as young leaders, what they're seeing in their own generation and things like that. So I think that's one of the reasons why this piece is so key, is because I think it's going to be the difference on whether we get to keep leading or whether we just get pushed to the sideline and they say, thanks, but no thanks. We'll find it somewhere else.
I'm 100% with you on that. You know, they're the generation before us. Leadership didn't want to show any cracks in the armor,
right.
And they had to have it together all the time,
right.
And that doesn't fly. Go
right.
past our generation to this younger generation, and they don't mind seeing the cracks,
right?
Because it makes you real.
That's right.
And I'm just restating what you said, but they will follow a person who is flawed much faster than the older generation that thought, hey man, my leader's got to have it all together.
Yeah.
He's got to be without mistake and error. He's got to make the right judgment 100% of the time.
Right.
That expectation is not out there with our younger leaders. They want to see it real. They want to see it happen. They want to see it moving and fluid.
Yeah.
And they want to see a person who's willing to grow with them and bring them on that journey. So
I don't want to make it like, man, this is a scary topic to talk about. I mean, you talk about Paul with fear and trembling. I was with fear and trembling writing this article because I thought, man, if ever there's a setup to crash and burn, it's let's write the article and talk about, you know, being authentically vulnerable. I recognize this is still a battle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a battle for us as leaders because as much as, and I agree with what you've said, that it is better for us to open up and put it out there and talk about when we've messed up and all of that stuff. But it's still hard to do that. And I think especially for many who are in the AMS role, who have been around a while, we're a little bit older, we're of that generation where you didn't show those cracks. And so we have to figure out places and spaces that are safe enough to be able to do that. Because it's still tough, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's still tough to admit to something. It's still tough to recognize, hey, I've got a weak spot here that could really be a problem. We got to figure that out.
Yeah, I'm into that. Hey, so how would you encourage, we've got associational leaders from all walks of life, all spectrums out there. There's 1,000 of these guys out there, as you know, and they're all looking to lead great men. So how would you encourage these associational leaders that are listening today to pursue authentic vulnerability?
Yeah. I think it has to begin with those basic spiritual disciplines, right? Being where you need to be with Jesus. That's the beginning point. And I know that sounds super, that sounds like, you know, something that'll come out of a
Sunday
spirituality
school material.
Material. That's right. Yeah. That's in the quarterly somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think the reality is that when we're walking with Jesus, I think this is something that will naturally begin to kind of flow out of us. I think that it's something that we really have to pray for the Holy Spirit's help on. I think this ought to be a regular prayer of an AMS, is to say, Lord, help me today, of any leader really, but Lord, help me today to be open and honest, to be my true self in front of the people that I'm talking with today, to listen well, to follow you, to exemplify the life of Jesus in the way that I do that. I think that we have to be really careful to follow the scriptures and to let our understanding of things stand first and foremost on the truth of the scripture. There are absolutes there that we need to stand on. You know, the more that we're kind of freestyling our own notions of things, the more dangerous it gets and the more likely we are to sort of be building our own kingdom instead of the kingdom of Christ. I think that we've got to pursue for ourselves intentional gospel relationships. That's a term that we used at the church that I planted and pastored, and it became sort of almost a mantra for everything that we did, is we wanted to be about intentional gospel relationships. And that meant that we were constantly pursuing to be in community with one another, especially. You know, I've got to be around people who can gospel me as a verb, right?
Yeah.
Who can speak into my life, who know me well enough to know when things aren't going right.
And in the absence of vulnerability, that's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. No, right. That's exactly right. Because we're going to put up those walls, we're going to put up that facade, and we're going to act like we've got it all perfectly together. And when we're in genuine gospel community with other believers, then it makes it a lot harder to hide. It makes it a lot harder to get so far down that road, as we've talked about, that you can't get back. And I think that the reason that I say that is especially important, like for an AMS, is because the nature of our positions most often means, for most of us, it means that we're in all kinds of different churches constantly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that my Sunday morning, I try the best that I can to be with my family and my church in worship at least once a month. But for the most part, almost every Sunday, I'm at a different church, yeah. whether I'm preaching or just attending and support. I know a lot of guys are doing interims and things like that. So we're naturally, by the nature of our position, away from the local church that is going to be and is key to us making sure that we have that gospel That's right. community. And so I would say, I mean, it's my conviction anyway, that every AMS ought to have a local church that they are faithfully a member of to the best of their capacity, that they have made themselves accountable and responsible to the leadership of that church, the pastor, the elders, however they're set right. up, that there are those spiritual leaders that can speak into their life and aren't afraid to do that. You know, I think that gospel community is just a huge one. And then I think just living honestly in your weaknesses and in your failures like Paul did. I think if Paul can manage to have done all that he did in his ministry yeah. and be able to admit, I don't have all this together and I've got some real weaknesses. And when I look in the mirror, I see a guy who desperately needs Jesus. I think we better be doing at least that, you know?
So right now, there's an AMS listening to this podcast. This has struck a chord with him. He's thinking to himself, man, everything they're saying is right. I need to open up. I need to be more vulnerable. I need to put off some of this hard shell that I have. But maybe he says, I just can't. Or maybe he says, I can't let them see or I can't let them know. He's just not ready to do that. Well, how would you encourage that brother to take his next step? What would you say to him?
Yeah, I think I'd tell him to make it a priority of prayer to say, you know, Lord, help me to do the right thing. Help me to find the right person. You know, maybe that person is going to be a peer in kind of the AMS world. You know, maybe it's another brother who's doing a similar thing, who's in a similar role, who he feels like is experiencing some of the same challenges. So maybe that's where it begins. Again, I hope that he has the kind of relationship with his local family of faith, his local church, to be able to go to his pastor or to a leader there and say, hey, I'm out here. I'm serving as a missionary. No, I'm not 1,000 miles away, but I'm out in the field every day, and I need help. You know, I need to put this out there. So maybe it's that. Maybe it's getting honest and dealing with some stuff with his spouse. Maybe it's just a trusted friend that he's had. I think that I would just say, pray and ask God for clarity about who that might be, and then genuinely look for who is it that I can talk to, because I think that's really where it begins, you know, being willing to sort of pull back the blinds and say, hey, I got to be honest, this is where I'm at.
Yeah, that's great. Hey guys, as I reflect on what Todd's saying, I just encourage you to get, there's so many different events we do all year long, whether it be a lab at NAM or whether it be SBCAL or AIM or CAN or one of the other big groups. Sit down at a table with a couple of your colleagues and focus in on that one you hit it off with. Get into an accountability relationship, begin a friendship, start talking, get into circles that can identify with you and what you're dealing with. That's a great first step for us. Hey, Todd, let me ask you, as a final question, you know, a mark of a good leader is the ability to dynamically change with either times, keeping our core values in place, obviously, but rethinking maybe some of our systems or procedures. The leader that has the ability to change and grow is always a healthier leader than one that doesn't. So let me ask you this question. That was a long lead-in, but let me ask you this question. What have you changed your mind on lately?
Yeah, this is going to sound really silly, but it certainly is attached to what we're talking about and my role as an AMS. And I know probably somebody's going to laugh when they hear me say this, but, you know, I've changed my mind on the ACP. Okay. Wow, you know, life change, earth shattering. I know, you know, I hear angels singing now.
It's the most profound answer I've
had. Oh my, I bet it is. I bet it is. So, no, I honestly, being in this role, you know, when I was a pastor and the packet would come for the ACP every year, I would look at it and, you know, sort of this cold sweat would come over me, and I'd think, oh, I do not want to fill this out. I do not want to do this. I don't get it. I don't want to mess with this. And so I'd put it on my desk, and then I'd see it again a week or two later. I'd move it to a different corner of my desk. So I'd just shuffle it around. I think being in this role, you know, so much of what we do is coming alongside of churches and trying to help churches really get a picture and assessment for where they are and how God has been at work, some of the challenges that have taken place. I think what I've realized is, man, that ACP just holds information and data and historical arc of what's been going on in that church. Obviously, it's not everything that's happened. It's not the deep stories of the people's lives and all of that, but it does tell a story. It tells a story about what's been happening with evangelism. It tells a story about what's been happening with attendance. And you can almost look at that arc and say, what happened this year? What trauma took place in the church this year? You can look and say, wow, boy, look at this spike. Was that a change in the community? Did revival break out? Was there a new effort made in engaging the neighborhood? What was going on in that? So it so much has a part of telling the story that I've just realized that it's just an important key. And I know that sounds like the most SBC Homer thing to say of all time, but it really is such a valuable tool in our role as AMS's. So I've kind of repented and confessed of my sin of hating the ACP. I've confessed that to my leadership. I've confessed that to the executive board and even at an annual meeting to the association as a whole. You know, I've sinned against you. I've hated the ACP.
That's funny.
But please come with me and love the ACP so that we can have the information that we need to do better.
I actually really like your answer, and here's why. At NAM for years, we've talked about gauging health on an overall scale of our churches and the SBC and whatever. And we address the ACP data all the time. But it's really hard when you pull a church's ACP data and you go back 20, 30 years and it was every year for 5 years, then there was 7 years of no ACP.
That's right.
And then 3 years of ACP and then 1 year, no. And then 5 years more of ACP.
Yeah.
And there's no way, if we ever wanted to grab national trends from 1984, we couldn't really do that because the ACP data is not there.
That's right.
And
that's right.
So it is. It's very
valuable.
And we
wring our hands. I mean, every year, right, when all the data comes in and it's collated, we wring our hands and say, you know, everything's falling apart. The numbers are declining. You know, we're not doing what we used to do and all of that. And some of that decline is real. And we need to be serious about that. We can't take that for granted. But some of that is the fact that we have, especially and often, a lot of our younger, more vibrant churches, we're not getting that information. And so it's not even in the mix. And so we don't know for sure what's going on. I've just realized it's a helpful tool. So I've changed my mind. I'm growing and learning to love the ACP.
That's great. Well, thanks. Guys, our special guest today was Todd Robertson. He is the Associational Mission Strategist of Louisville Regional Baptist Association. Todd, thanks for sitting down with me and doing
this.
This is a really important topic, and I'm so glad you came in. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. God bless you.
All right. You too.
You have been listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. For more information or to contact the North American Mission Board's Associational Relations Team, send an email to associations@namb.net.